They really should keep that thing on a lead. I'm Colin Allcars, and I'll be your host for the evening.
I'm Norma Snuckers, and I think those radio players are getting really good these days. I wonder what will happen in next week's episode.
I'm Mia Harkness, and I got lasered in the face last night.
I'm Wilma Fingadoo, and I'm getting geared up to go and kick that thing's arse. If it has one.
I'm Sandy Crevis, and I'm coming with you. Oh, actually, you go first. I've got a sore leg.
Well, before we all start rushing off to our deaths, should we get the headlines done? Chick's continuing clothing conundrum causes commotion and consternation.
Thargoid titans unleash unprecedented chaos as pilots brave maelstrom hearts and giant glowing sphincters.
Too Hot Too Messy brings us its week 40 update.
It seems we have a bumper cup of trucker incidents this week, so hold on tight and buckle up for some chunky tales.
Atreus waves his pulse neutralizer in our faces.
We've had it with Avik.
Another week, another war pending in the galaxy. But at least our systems aren't squabbling. Yet.
Community news from Borderiva.
Commander Chix, the infamous neon pink jumpsuit wearing pilot, has been mysteriously absent from this week's Hutton Orbital show. Rumours abound as to the reason for his unexpected no-show, with some suggesting he may have finally pushed the fashion envelope a little too far. According to sources close to Commander Chix, the jumpsuit in question may have been a tad too snug for comfort, leading to a potential wardrobe malfunction during last week's show. Reports suggest that a federal donor's wife, who was attending the show as a VIP guest, may have fainted at the sight of Commander Chix's skin-tight outfit, leading to his hasty removal from the stage. But that's not all. In the chaos that ensued, Commander Chix may have made a regrettable decision to munch on the plastic fruit adorning his hat, leading to a potentially serious dental emergency and some gastrointestinal distress. As a result, he may have been forced to take a few days off to recover. He has, however, planned a visit to Eddie Lee Wise and Sons, plus his daughters, Outfitters, to the stars. The stars over at Lave Station. Rumours have been circulating that Commander Chix has been seeking a new wardrobe after the incident, suggesting that Eddie might have gone the inches and centimetres backwards on his measuring tape. But despite this, what better place to visit than Eddie's shop, known for its out-of-this-world fashion sense? Commander Chix might have even asked Eddie's wife Babs and husband Ken to concoct him an entirely new wardrobe. One that is still flashy, but maybe not quite as revealing as his previous outfit. Perhaps he's even requested a matching hat, but this time with actual edible fruit on top. For the benefit of Commander Deadmeat GF, that does not include pineapple. Who knows what new styles Eddie and his team will come up with? But one thing is for sure, Commander Chix will be making a statement when he returns to Hutton Orbital. But until then, we can only speculate on his new look and eagerly await his return to the show. Maybe he'll even surprise us with a fashion show, showcasing his new outfit, all its bells and whistles. Despite these setbacks, Commander Chix remains undaunted and is said to be already planning his next outrageous outfit for his return to the Hutton Orbital stage. Stay tuned for further updates on this unfolding fashion saga.
In a rather predictable turn of events, well, predictable if you listen to this very show, pilots have finally got past Tharg the Mighty's mighty yeet in his maroon miasma of doom. What awaited them wasn't the crock of gold at the end of the rainbow, but, in true Billy Goat Gruff style, the bigger brother of the Interceptors we've now become quite accustomed to. And yes, it appears the big things on planet surfaces that we've been tromping around and feeding Guardian Dubris in order to obtain pickled Grelic, complete with all of Errol's friends and relations hovering up the outside were actually spaceships. Really big, really angry spaceships that crashed as they caught mods brought on by a bad case of the Jamesons. Anyway, the Maelstrom Hearts are not just big. They're really, really big and have a habit of throwing things at passing ships, like glaives and hydras, plus the few hundred odd missiles. And if you're wondering what a glaive was, go watch Krull. It's like that, but alien. Anyway, it appears that our poking of the big angry Thargoid nest has unleashed a tidal wave of unspeakable evil on the galaxy. Well, on settlements. It appears that Errol, the little scavenger, has other friends and relations. The kinds that, if you were living in a town in the United Kingdom in the 2000s, would be hanging around in gangs and causing trouble. They've set fire to the place. They're roaming around being intimidating, and they're challenging just about anyone to a fight. Probably all those bottles of Thargoid Prime they drank earlier. What's more, they've got their own version of Apex taxis, standing by to be spat out by the big glowing sphincter on the Maelstrom tie-ins, making a quick cruise to the settlement where you're just trying to scrub off the graffiti on the walls and put out the fires and ruin your day with lasers and giant balls of exploding caustic poo. Can anyone work out how to enter the giant glowing space sphincter? Is it a portal to somewhere unpleasant and smelly? Or just the surface of a big 3D Thargoid printer? Why do we bounce when we run into it? We suspect that the strange scrapings that pilots are taking from the outside might give us an insight into either a Titan's bath time routine, or lack of it, or provide Aegis and friends with new and exciting ways to find even bigger and more dangerous Thargoids. In the meantime, if you do the hackswing thing, then bring lots of rebuys. If you don't, we recommend maybe taking a nice holiday somewhere like Beagle Point until this all blows over.
After 40 weeks, or 9 months, Too Hot Too Messy, the Hutton-led initiative to deliver a Hutton mug and Centauri Megagen to all the stations in the galaxy, has achieved over 72,500 deliveries. Once again, last week's deliveries were better than the loads of previous weeks, leaving the 4-week average up marginally at 1,100 deliveries a week. Two new commanders have joined the effort this week, increasing the number signed up to 288, representing 94 squadrons. Hutton still has the largest contingent, and now with 92 commanders who have delivered almost 38,000 mugs, more than half the total. But thanks still go to all the other squadrons taking part and delivering the other half. The Buckyball Racing Club are still in second place with over 4,300. The Winged Hussars are in third with over 3,000. The Paladins are in fourth with 1,800. The Bear Pitter are 300 behind them in fifth. The Anti-Xeno Initiative are sixth. The oddly named one-man squadron, The Order of 12, has jumped into the 1,000 Club straight into seventh place. The Soteria Record are eighth, and the Undead are ninth. Well done to Commander Border Reaver for that epic run straight into the 7th slot. Commander Chicks is still leading the deliveries table with over 9,800 mugs delivered. Some say that he thinks the first 10,000 mugs will be the hardest. Waller 81 is second with over 8,600 deliveries, ahead of Nemb in third with over 5,500, and Shea Blackwood in fourth with over 4,200, ahead of Infinite Dreamer in fifth with over 2,600. The 1000 Club has 13 members. Of course, we know all this because it is tracked live in the Too Hot Too Messy event page in the Hutton Helper. In addition to trying to impress the Vista Genomics lady with your mugging prowess, and let's face it, she's only interested in your fruit extra, there is a chance to win a real-world, handle at a jaunty angle, dishwasher unsafe, self-heating Hutton mug. Any commander that delivers 10 mugs and gin in the weekly Thursday to Thursday period will be entered into the next week's draw to win a real Hutton mug. Unless, of course, you already have one. 38 lucky commanders have accomplished this so far, and you can see a little golden mug next to their names in the top commanders table. Last week's winner was Bandicoot. So keep listening for this week's winner to be announced in the banter bit after the news. If you had delivered 10 mugs and gin every week since the start, 9 months ago, you would have racked up over 400 deliveries. And only 31 commanders, that's just 1 out of 9, have actually done that. If you haven't, why not give it a try and share the burden? In order to join in the fun, you'll need to sign up by downloading the Hutton Helper from hot.forthemug.com/download. And then you can sign up, your mug and gin deliveries will be automatically registered for you by Entarius's non-GMO grass-fed replicant hamsters, which come with a limited lifespan and real-grown lab fare and are capable of actually reading a script.
We have a number of minor trucker incidents to report this week. First, a message and a warning from Commander Little Grey. Commander Little Grey is known for his lucrative hauling missions and his ability to deliver goods across the galaxy in record time. But what happens when one of his cargo racks turns out to be a bunk bed instead? Little Grey found out the hard way, hauling 16,000 tons of cargo across the galaxy, only to discover that one of his cargo racks had been used as a doss house for a number of rather lost truckers who appear to have been sleeping off a CMG-induced hangover. As it turns out, the bunk bed was a passenger cabin and not suitable for hauling cargo, mainly as the cargo squashed all the throw cushions and probably destroyed the coffee machine in the corner. Though that could be the double brewed, triple potent pot of Hutton blend coffee he'd left on a medium heat for a week. Now, you may be thinking, what's so bad about having a bunk bed in your cargo hold? Surely it could be a cosy spot to catch some Zeds during those long hauls across the galaxy. But as Little Grey soon found out, a bunk bed isn't exactly the most practical piece of equipment for transporting goods. Little Grey may have been too focused on profits to notice the mistake, but his cargo had other ideas. Rumour has it that his cargo started asking for diversions to go pick up beer and giving him one-star reviews on the galactic Yelp equivalent. But Little Grey is not one to let a mistake get in the way of a good time. He has already set his sights on his next mission, and this time he'll be sure to double-check his cargo racks before setting off. In the world of Hutton truckering, it's all about learning from your mistakes and using that knowledge to improve the size and potency of your load. Commander Little Grey's story serves as a reminder to all commanders to stay focused, pay attention to detail, and never underestimate the importance of a fine rack. And who knows, maybe one day we'll be able to haul bunk beds across the galaxy. For now, we'll just stick to the cargo. Then there was poor Happy Moon Monkey, henceforth known as the Happy Hurling Monkey. The infamous Grellick strike again. It seems that even the most experienced pilots are not immune to the effects of these glowing Guardian goodies. Especially not Commander Alec Turner, but the tale about why he was asking Rangtar to sniff his finger after pushing one into the bar is for another week. Commander Happy Moon Monkey shared their recent experience with motion sickness in their SUV while collecting probes and pickling Grellicks. In a mission to Hutton Control, Happy Moon Monkey confessed to suffering from SRV motion sickness and explained that this was not the first time they'd encountered it. He admitted to that it should have turned on horizon levelling to avoid the vertigo inducing ride, but still managed to have fun despite the nausea. But the real trouble began when Happy Moon Monkey tried to leave the surface site. The combination of motion sickness and too many pickled green grellicks proved too much for them, and they found themselves stranded in their green dolphin ship, patiently waiting for the sickness to pass. We can only imagine the scene inside the ship as Happy Moon Monkey battled the after effects of the pickled grellick binge. Did they make dinosaur noises at the porcelain telephone? Did they pray at the ceramic altar? Or did they redecorate the ship's head green? It's a mystery that only Happy Moon Monkey can answer. Maybe after a bit of a lie down. For those not in the know, Grelics are guardian relics that emit a glow and are highly sought after by commanders for their beauty and potential value. However, as Happy Moon Monkey's experience demonstrates, they should be enjoyed in moderation to avoid any unpleasant side effects. So the next time you embark on a SRV expedition, remember to watch your Grelic intake and turn on horizon levelling. And if you do find yourself feeling queasy, just remember, even the best commanders can have a bit of an inner ear imbalance sometimes. We recommend a session on one of those little cars that goes round the insides of stations for a bit until it settles down.
Get even, trackers! It's 50-60, we're popping in with the latest updates on the Thargoid War. New types of Thargoids have been spotted in the heart of the maelstroms. What could this mean for humanity as war continues to be waged across the edge of the bubble? The successful initiative to bring new pulse wave neutralizer to the market has allowed Hexwing Planet to finally move deeper into the heart of the Tyrannus Maelstrom to see what new threats awaiting humanity. Through the brave leadership of Commander Aziraphale, Hexwing discovered what is being called a Thargoid Titan, bearing a strong resemblance to the Thargoid Zephyr site discovered across the Pleiades in 3307. The Titan acts as a mothership launching scouts, interceptors, and new Thargoid variant called the Glaive. It also is the source of the pulse wave that was preventing commanders from entering the heart of the maelstrom. The Glaive presents a new tactical challenge for AX pilots having the maneuverability of a Thargoid scout, but the lightning attack and shield of an interceptor. It also has an anti-Guardian pulse wave that destroys Guardian based weapons and modules, meaning our modified charge cannons are not going to be too effective against it. In addition to that, the Glaive has also been spotted at planetary bases under attack by the Thargoids, meaning AX pilots will have to consider changing their weapon loadouts to enhance AX weapons provided by Aegis and any Guardian-based module reinforcement packages for the standard version. In addition to the discovery of the Titan and the Glaive, Thargoid scouts seem to have gotten a tactical boost and are now far more aggressive at attacking commanders in conflict zones outside the stations and planetary bases. Not only have discoveries been made in space, but also at surface ports of control systems. Revenants, a Thargoid military drone, have been spotted at the surface base of Thargoid control system. Aegis, has announced new operations and initiatives to help retake these systems by commanders bringing the fight to the Thargoids on foot to help reactivate the base defences at these sites, thus helping humanity to repel the Thargoids from the system. This week, we face 18 invasions and numerous alerts across all fronts. Hexwing will begin the week by defending Azure near the Kirkijo Maelstrom. Just look here, Orbital. The system's only Coriolis station is under attack. Combat and evac pilots, as well as supply missions, will be needed there, so any pilots participating should outfit their ships accordingly. Kelsa Serex surface missions are available at both Jishay Orbital and the damaged outpost Valdez Horizons. We get plenty to do, trackers, and Hexwing can continue to use your support. See you on the front lines. Follow them!
After months of war in Avik, the torch of control of the little system has finally passed to another. Lee Young Ruiz, Sirius Corporation have been eyeing up the executive office on Bruce Prospect for some time now, and this week they finally had the opportunity to paint the walls green. Many observers are blaming engineer Marco Quent, whose mastery of the power plant can turn a potato into Sellafield. Quent runs his operation out of Sirius, which is permit-locked by the aforementioned Sirius Corporation. Alvin is a proud leader, but he's also a benevolent one, tired of seeing Cutton pilots suffering financial hardship of rebuys from the never-ending conflict. He has decided to let the corporate masterminds enjoy their moment of glory. He is undecided on the next steps, whether to bow-wow out gracefully or to bite back. But in the meantime, he hopes that the new system controllers enjoy the presents he left for them. Right in the middle of the carpet.
A quieter week still, but there is trouble brewing. We have another war pending in you-know-where with you-know-who. Six systems find themselves on the naughty step this week, but it could have been seven. More on those stories coming up. It was pretty much another race to the bottom this week. Again, won by the smallest of margins, but this time by Stein 2051 on 33. Pipping Hill Pass C to the Wooden Spoon by a third of a point. Stein 2051 is recovering from last week's pirate attack, following a period of decline. But the minor factions are not currently squabbling, so now is a great time to go in there and boost Hun influence. As mentioned above, Hill Pass C continues its doldrum dwelling, sitting on 33%, but it is also a quiet time there, so jump in and boost influence. Avic would have been our lowest system, a whole 8 points below the previous two on 25. However, as we've already heard, we lost the last chapter in the Forever War, 4-2 to Sirius Corp, so we don't own it anymore. The reaction in the bar was generally been, oh well, before they all went back to their conga ales and gossiping about the latest goings-on in the war with Tharg. Hard to move Epsilon Indy is joined on 37 by LP525-39. 36 Ophiuchi has had a good week, gaining 5 points to leave it on 38. The last of the delinquents is Ross 671, that has just dipped below 40 for the first time in a few weeks. Notice how we don't talk about Bernard Starr much these days, living the high life on 43. Despite the news from Avic, Alvin is happy to take a tail-wagging one-in, one-out philosophical view with the addition of Minjka after an election victory to his systems roster. It was almost as if to say, if Lee Yong-ri wants that poxy old system so badly, then he can have it. And then he cocked his leg in the general direction of Avic before attacking a Seti rabbit-flavoured dentist stick. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems table, we have two systems above 60%, as it looks like someone has overdone it in LHS 340. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Stein 2051 and Hill Pass C. If you want to shoot something, go try one of those new flavoured Thargoids.
Yeah, okay. Right, we have a report from Commander Borderweaver this week about the Surface Activation and Retrieval Task Force. After action report... 3309, 0509, Bravo Delta Alpha 1740. Location classified. SART team reactivation and retrieval fail by team 1. En route to Thargoid control system, no hyperdiction encountered. However, two in-system interdictions were encountered. On closing target station, SART Team 1 ships came under sustained attack by approximately six Thargoid surface units designated Revenants. Deployed SART Team 1, Scorpion SRV, dismiss ships and engage Revenants. Retrieve new material, Thargoid Carapace. Despite multiple Revenant liquidation, scouts appear to deploy Reinforcement Revenants. Scouts will engage Scorpion SRV. SART Team 1 were lost after engagement by a scout. Thargoid carapace not returned to base. Surface Activation and Retrieval Task Force After Action Report 3309-0509 Bravo Delta Bravo 1800 Location Classified. SART Team 2 Reactivation and Retrieval Success by Team 2. En route to Thargoid Control System, two hyperdictions encountered. Minimum damage. In-system interdiction encountered, again with minimal damage. On closing target station, one member of SART Team 2 deployed on foot, whilst one was lost on deployment to surface during heavy fire. Contingency deployment of 13 member on foot, successful. Power restored and item retrieved, destroying several revenants in the engagement. SART Team 2 evac from base by foot, out of sight of revenants, and recalled Ship 1. Recall of Ship 2 was cancelled as Ship 1 came under sustained fire from revenants, scouts and interceptor. Both team members embarked Ship 1, with one member of SART Team 2 subsequently deployed out at LZ Baker to recall Ship 2, while Ship 1 drew off scouts and interceptor. Serious damage sustained by Ship 1. Two hyperdictions encountered exiting system. SART Team 2 ship, Ship 1 recovered to base with 8% hull. SART Team 2 Ship 2 retrieved with 77% hull.